This is going to be a short lesson, okay? But I want you to pay attention. Some of you are going to say at the end of this lesson, that was only for the kids. If that's what you think at the end of the lesson, you weren't listening, all right? But this is for everybody, but it is especially for our kids. Because what does this render? What does that even mean? What are we even talking about? So I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter, turn the Bible to the verse that's right there on the tag. And Luke chapter 20, the passage that Casey read for us, what did we learn? That a group of some enemies of Jesus come to him, and they're trying to test him. They're trying to trick him. So they're going to ask a question about paying taxes. Woo-hoo! Nobody wants to talk about paying taxes, right? They're going to ask him about paying taxes. Are we supposed to do this? And you remember what Jesus did? And I forgot to put a coin in my pocket. I meant to this morning. But you remember what Jesus did? Jesus said, show me a coin. And they showed him a coin. They showed him a denarius. And he said, whose image is on that coin? Well, if I pulled out a coin out of my pocket this morning and showed it to you, if it was big enough, you could tell me whose image was. They knew whose image was on the coin. And they said, Caesar's image is on the coin. So what did Jesus say? Render unto Caesar the thing that are Caesar's. Are you supposed to pay taxes? That's what they're asking. He answered their question. If that's Caesar's, you give it to Caesar. What does the word render mean? Render means you give something that belongs to somebody. You just get it belongs to you, I give it to you. So if this piece of money belongs to Caesar, then you give it to Caesar. That's not the point of the lesson this morning, because what else did Jesus say? Jesus got a bigger picture. He didn't focus in on their little minute issue. He said, let's go to a larger picture. Don't just render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. Render, give something that belongs to somebody else. Render unto God the things that are God's. If you pick up a coin and that coin has an image on it of somebody, and Jesus says, that image that belongs to a person, give it to that person. Jesus says to you, you've got the image of somebody on you. You've got the image of God who made you in his image on you. And so Jesus says what? Render unto God you. Not the money, yes, but you belong to God. And so you take you and you give you to God. How do I do that? How do I give me to God? Kids, are you listening? You're taking worship notes so you can get a pack of cards at the end. Are you listening? Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to walk through these very quickly. But what does it mean to render? How do I render? Six things real quick using the word render so that maybe we can remember this. So that when you go to school and you've got your backpack and your friends aren't going to have any idea what render means. But you will. You're going to have this hanging on there and they're going to think maybe that's your name. Or they're going to think, you know, that what does that mean? They might not have a clue, but you're going to have a clue after today. When I see this car, this tag, what is it that I'm supposed to render? How do I render to God me? How do I do that? Well, it involves what I do for other people. So kids, I want you to think this morning. What do I need to render to people? Levi? Kids who are sitting right around here? How do I render myself to God? It involves respecting your parents and others who are over you. If I'm going to render me to God, then I've got to respect others who are over me, and especially young people, your parents. What does Ephesians chapter 6 say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Young people, that's your job. By the way, honoring your father and mother, you never grow out of that. Sorry, Maddie, you won't ever get old enough where you, Gary, I'm sorry, you never get old enough where you don't, where God says you can stop honoring your father and your mother. That's just ongoing. We've got to respect our parents, but not just our parents, those who are over us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 is not talking about elders in the church, it's talking about just older people. Where the Bible says, those of you who are younger, respect those. Honor those who are older. Submit yourselves to those elders, those who are older than you. Romans 13 says to honor those to whom honor is due. When you go to school, you need to respect your teacher. You need to respect your principal. You need to respect the cafeteria lady. You need to respect the janitor. You need to respect everybody who's older than you. When you go through life, you need to respect those who are in authority. You need to respect the government officials and police officers, and you need to respect the elders in the Lord's church. If we're going to render ourselves to God because we belong to God, it starts with respecting those others who are made in the image of God. But not just that. What's involved in rendering unto God the things that are God? Maddie and Mason, those who are sitting back here, and Merritt and Madden, Joy and Jay. So I shouldn't have started calling names because now I've got to call everybody by name. But what does it involve? It involves esteeming others as being better than me. Does that make sense? Is that something that's natural? Philippians chapter 2 is that verse that we're encouraging our kids to memorize so they can get a pack of cards. I don't know of a verse that's more important for Christians to memorize than Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. How much can I do out of selfish ambition or conceit? How much can I do because I deserve it or because I'm all that? Nothing. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, that's me, lowliness of mind, let each esteem others what? Better. Does he say which people I'm supposed to esteem others, to esteem better? Everybody. I'm supposed to esteem everybody. Joy and Jane, are we supposed to do that? Madden and Merritt, we're supposed to esteem everybody? What if they're not better than me? God says they are. Esteem others. What does esteem mean? I think about them. I consider them. I count them to be better than me. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. It takes work. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate. Be nice to people. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. And then it says, giving preference. Giving preference. Do we give preference to people? Do we always have to be the first in line? Does it always have to be our way? Do we always have to do things the way I think they ought to be done? Giving preference to one another. If I'm going to render me to God, it starts with respecting those who are over me. It involves esteeming others to not just be equal with me and definitely not below me, but to esteem them as better than me. Some of you are going to college, Connor, Troy, Casey over there, and others in between are going to college. What does it mean to render unto God the things that are God's? It means with the letter N, I need to notice the needs of other people. I need to notice what's going on in other people's lives. You keep reading in Philippians chapter 2. It says, don't look out just for your own interest, but also the interest of others. Are we self-centered sometimes? We notice our needs, what I want, what I need. But God says, don't just do that. Notice the needs of other people around you. Isn't that what you would want? If you have things going on in your life, wouldn't you want them to notice that about you? Isn't that the golden rules, Luke 6 and verse 31 that's up there? As you wish that men do unto you, you do also unto them. Our responsibility is not just to look out for what we want. You know, you go to school this week, and there may be somebody there who's lonely because they miss being home. Or maybe they're going to be lonely because it's a brand new school for them. They've never been to this school. They don't know anybody there. You're going to go to school this week, and there might be somebody they're hurting because something's going on, and you don't even know what it is, but they've got some stuff going on at home, and they're just hurting. You're going to see people this week who need a friend. You're going to see people this week who need Jesus in their lives. And what does that involve? It involves me noticing. Not just looking at me, noticing other people. What's going on in their life and saying, wait a minute, maybe I can do something for them. Isn't that what Galatians 6 verse 10 says? As we have opportunity, let us do good unto who? Unto the nice people? Unto the rich people? Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. What does it mean to render? Bryson and Nathan, Lily and Lucas, and what does it mean, Raya? What does it mean to render? What does that involve? Well, think about the letter D. If I'm going to render unto God the things that are God, I've got to do what's right. When do I do what's right? Sunday mornings? That's when I come to church, right? That's when I do what's right. When do I do what's right? Every single day. I do what's right. Is that always easy? Well, I'll do what's right when the teacher's watching, but when she leaves the room, it's fair game. I mean, it's just, you know, there's all sorts of stuff's going to happen. No. Not just when people are looking, right? That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Not with eye service as men pleasers. I don't just do what's right when people are watching me. No, I do right all the time, whether somebody's watching me or not. I need to make sure that my mindset is not, well, trying to decide what if I'm going to do right in a certain situation or not right in a certain situation. I need to make up my mind, I'm always going to do what's right. That just makes life a whole lot easier. There's people that you're going to meet this week that need a good example. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says that we're to be that example. We need to do right so that others can see us doing right. They may not realize. They may have never reckoned. They've never seen somebody do what you're going to. We need to do right so that others can see what that looks like. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says we're to let our light shine. Why? So that people can see our good works, not glorify us for them, but to glorify God for them. Young people, today's Sunday, tomorrow's Monday, and the day after that's Tuesday, and it doesn't matter what day it is. Every single day, make up your mind, I'm just going to do what's right. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. You've probably heard this, but I want to make sure that you know it. It's always right to do right. And it's always wrong to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. And that's right. You know why? Because the Bible is right. And when you do what the Bible says, you're always going to be doing right, and you won't have to ever think about anything else. What does it mean to render myself to God? What about the letter E? Junior high and senior high sitting up here. Should I call all of you by name, Thomas? No, Thomas is like, don't call me by name. What does this mean? If I'm going to render unto God the things that are God, I need to encourage others. I need to encourage others with my words. I need to use words that are Can you use words as weapons? Can your words be weapons sometimes? Can your words, I mean, not just have like a sharp, pokey end on the end, but can your words be like nuclear bombs sometimes? You're just going to take out a whole city. You're going to take out a whole house. I'm just going to explode on you with my words. Can our words be used as weapons? Too often they are, right? But can our words be used for good? Ephesians 4, verse 29. The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. How many corrupt words does God give me permission for? One or two a day? Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. Oh, all right, then what kind of words am I supposed to do? But what is good for necessary building up, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What does that mean? I need to speak kind words. I need to speak words that tell people thank you with my words. I need to speak words of encouragement. You're doing a good job of praise. I need to speak words maybe of apology where I say something, look, I'm sorry, I messed up. Please forgive me. I need to use my words instead of hurting. I can use my words to hurt people, and we've done it. I can use my words to tear somebody down behind their back, and we've probably done it. That's not the way God, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I need to use my words to encourage. Can I do that this week? We go to school and we're nice to people with our words. But what about kids over here? Kalisha and Kainoa, Joshua. What about kids who are sitting over here? How do I render unto God the things that are God's? The first five things, you know, have to do with our relationship with other people. And you say, well, that's actually rendering to people the things that are due them. Yes, it is. But when I render unto people the things that are due unto them, guess what I'm doing at the same time? I am rendering unto God the things that are God's. When I do right to people, I am doing right to God. And so, but the overall thing that I'm responsible for doing is revering my God in everything that I do. The choices that I make, those first five on the screen, the design of those is not to revere David or revere any one of us, is to revere God in everything. You know why? Because I don't belong to me. I'm not mine. I didn't create myself. I didn't make myself. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God made me in His image. And so since I'm made in the image of God, I need to turn around and glorify God. I need to turn around and use my life for the good of God. And that's what 1 Corinthians 6 says. Verse 19 says, do you not know? You're not your own. You're not only made by God, you were bought by God. with the blood of Jesus. He says, you're not your own. Therefore, verse 20 says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Everything about us belongs to Him. They brought Jesus a coin. We're supposed to pay taxes to Caesar. And Jesus says, what's on that coin? And you render that to Caesar because it's got his image. Who's on us? What image do we have? We've got the image of Jesus. We bear the image of God because we're made in His image. And God says, Jesus says, then you give that to God. The word render means I give something that belongs to somebody else. Your parents deserve your respect. We need to render that to them. Those who are older than you, those in positions of authority, they deserve your honor. Honor to whom honor is due, Romans 13, verse 7. We need to give that to them. There are people that you are going to encounter this week, your friends, your classmates. They need your encouragement. They need your example. Render that unto them. Everybody that you meet, it doesn't matter old, young, or who they are, they deserve your kindness. Render that to them. Render to each one what is due unto them. And most of all, render you unto God. So young people, when you see that word render, we had too many tags apparently. When you see that word render on your backpack, on your lunchbox this school year, just ask yourself, what do I need to give to God today? How can I use myself for God today? We get to the end of the lesson and some people say, oh, wow, that was good. That was a good lesson for kids. All right, hope the kids were paying attention. I hope the children of God were paying attention, because you got it. It's not just for kids, is it? We render all of us and everything about us to God. Whether we're in school, or some of you this morning are thanking God that you're out of school. But whatever the case may be, our responsibility is to give ourselves to our God through how we treat each other and how we live our lives on a daily basis. Have you rendered unto God your very soul? Jesus came and died on the cross to save you. He shed His blood in order to purchase you. That concept, we understand it, but it just blows the mind. He could have done anything, but He used His own blood to buy us out of sin. And in order to get out of sin, He asked us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That man in Acts chapter 16 said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So I ask you this morning, do you believe that? In Acts chapter 17, Paul's preaching in the city of Athens. And there were people who didn't even know about God, but he says, God is commanding everywhere, including in Athens and in West Palm Beach. He needs everybody. He's commanding everybody to repent, to turn away from your sin, turn your life in the direction of God. Have you done that? Do you need to do it today to make that decision today? I want to give my life to the Lord. And if that's the decision you're ready to make today, in New Testament times, they confess their faith, confessing they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And upon that confession, they were baptized. They didn't make an appointment to get baptized. They didn't say, well, I'll wait a couple weeks until my family gets in town to be baptized. In Acts chapter 8, that man was riding along in a chariot. As soon as he learned he needed to be baptized, he saw some water. He said, baptize me, right? I want to be baptized right now. That man in Acts chapter 16, the jailer, it was midnight. He could have waited until morning. No, the Bible says in Acts 16, verse 33, immediately he was baptized. And the reason is the Bible teaches that baptism is for the purpose of having your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. The only way I get into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27, is to be baptized. So today, I'm either in Christ or I'm out of Christ. How do I get into Christ? I believe, I repent, I confess, and I'm baptized. If you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then you can't say that you are in Christ. But you can do that today. You can give your life to the Lord today and to be raised to walk in newness of life, to walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, and just render to God the things that are God's for the rest of your life. We're singing Nothing But the Blood. Is that the song? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. If you've never had your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, by being immersed into Christ, why don't you do it right now as together we stand and sing.